Good morning, and welcome to church at First Baptist Church in Savannah, Georgia. It is good to have you all here this morning. If you are visiting us from out of town or in Savannah, it is good to have you in this place, and we hope that you are enjoying your time in Savannah. And we say every week, please give folks a chance to say hello to you and to let you know about some of the hidden treasures in Savannah if you're here visiting. Also, if you are a visitor, we've got some guest cards in the pew in front of you. If you could fill those out at some point and put them in the offering plate when that gets passed later. And so to those of us who we call family, to the people who we walk through life together with, and who are a part of this community that we call First Baptist Church, it is good to have you here today. And may we worship our God. And may we do that by starting with this call to worship. Would you join me? I am the church, and you are the church.
We are the church together.
We depend on our seniors and longtime members to remember where we came from and where we have been.
We are
We depend on our children to retell our sacred stories as they grow.
We are
We depend on our youth and young adults to ask us why we do things this way and to suggest something new.
We are
We need each other to be the church.
We are Let us worship God.
Let us pray. O God, you declare your almighty power, chiefly in showing compassion and mercy. Grant us the fullness of your grace, that we, running to obtain your promises, may become partakers of your heavenly treasure. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you.
join me as we affirm our faith together. First Baptist Church is a unique Baptist congregation with an historic commitment to inclusiveness, ecumenism, and missions and social ministries, whose worship reflects the holiness of God. We honor and celebrate the inspiration of Holy Scripture, the priesthood of all believers, the autonomy of the local church, and the servant leadership of both men and women. As a family of faith, we commit our material and spiritual gifts to the work of God's kingdom in this community and throughout the world. We educate persons in Christian discipleship, nurture personal and spiritual growth, minister to those in need, and embrace all who seek Christ-centered lives.
Does anybody have one of these at their house? I hope so. I need a whole bunch of yeses. This is kind of my cooking thing, so it's a little messed up. Well, we're going to talk about salt in just a minute. And tell me what you know about salt. You have to know something. What do you do with it? Cook. Okay, what's it supposed to do? It's supposed to make things taste better? A lot better. All right, we're going to talk about that in a minute. I read on the internet, so it has to be true. Everybody knows that. That salt is used in making 14,000 different products, from plastic. How many of you have Legos at home or have had Legos? I will never look at a Lego again without thinking about salt. Other toys, plastic containers, leather. It's used in dye so that your black pants, after one washing, don't turn gray or white or whatever. So it's a really useful thing. It can cleanse, it can clean, you can scrub with it. Have you ever had a sore finger or thumb or toe and your mom says, put your finger in this hot, salty water? What? Right. When you have a sore throat, somebody says, gargle with hot, salty water. Exactly. And that helps soothe your throat and it really can start a healing process. Salt was precious. Do you know, in years ago, hundreds and hundreds of years ago, people were paid in salt? That'd be hard today. You know, getting your bags of salt and going to the grocery store or the bank or, you know, putting it through the ATM machine or whatever. That would be hard. But you have to have salt in your body. Your body is designed, God was so incredible. He designed your body so that you need some salt. You don't have to get it out of the salt shaker necessarily, but you need some salt for your heart to work right and for other things to work right. All right, let's talk about cooking. Salt seasons, right? Do you eat French fries without salt? No, you could. I've got a friend, bless his heart, who cannot have any salt. None. Because he's got a bad heart and he just can't have any added salt. And it's real hard to find. You go look in a can or something or a package and see if there's salt or not in it. And most of the time, yes, there's salt in everything. There's a Bible verse in Matthew, and it says, "You are the salt of the earth." It's not, "Would you like to be the salt of the earth?" It's like, "If you don't mind, would you be the salt of the earth?" Mm-mm. This says, "You are the salt of the earth." Now, we don't come in salt in boxes, and we don't shake. So how do we become salt for the world? You know? Have to think. All right, it's kind of hard. All right. You, all these people, the body of Christ that meets here in this building, we're all to be salt of the earth. And you know what I think that means? I think it means we go out into the world, to school, to the playground, to the gym, to wherever it is you go every day, every week, and we take the things we have learned from Christ to help improve our world. Like salt improves flavor. That's what we're supposed to do. I think God is telling us to go out and flavor our world. So how can we make our world better? What are some things we can do or have? Helping, serving, that was a word I had. Loving, giving, excellent. Time, money, a helping hand, a shoulder for somebody to cry on or lean on. Tolerance, you know what that means? Putting up with something you really don't like, but you just learn to deal with it and get on. Forgiveness, acceptance, kindness, caring, friendship, go together, peace, and compassion. And I'm sure if you sat here and thought about it, you could come up with 10 more. That's what we're supposed to do for the world and in the world. Let's have a prayer and go back to our seat. Dear God, help us to follow your instructions to be the salt for the earth and in the earth. Help us by the Holy Spirit to fill the world with all the good things you have taught us to serve, to love, to forgive. Help us to follow this even when we find it really, really hard. We make this prayer in your name. Amen. Thank you, God.
Now the rabble that was among them had a strong craving, and the people of Israel also wept again and said, "Oh, that we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt for nothing, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our strength has dried up, and there is nothing at all but this manna to look at." Moses heard the people weeping throughout their families, every man at the door of his tent. And the anger of the Lord blazed hotly. Moses was displeased. Moses said to the Lord, "Why hast thou dealt ill with thy servant? And why have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou dost lay the burden of all this people upon me? Did I conceive all these people Did I bring them forth that thou shouldst say to me, carry them in your bosom as a nurse carries a second child to the land which thou didst swear to give their fathers? Where am I to get meat to give all this people? For they weep before me and say, give us meat that we may eat. I am not able to carry all this people alone, and the burden is too heavy for me. If thou wilt deal thus with me, kill me at once. If I find favor in thy sight, that I may not see my wretchedness. And the Lord said to Moses, gather for me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people, and officers over them, and bring them to the tent of meeting, and let them take their stand there with you. So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord. And he gathered 70 men of the elders of the people and placed them round about the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him, and took some of the spirit that was upon him and put it upon the 70 elders. And when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied, but they did so no more. Now two men remained in the camp, one named Eldad and the other named Medad. And the spirit rested upon them. They were among those registered. But they had not gone out to the tent, and so they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran and told Moses, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the minister of Moses, one of his chosen men, said, my lord Moses, forbid them. But Moses said to him, are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, and the Lord would put his spirit upon them. Here ends the reading of the first lesson.
Our second lesson today comes from the book of James, chapter 5, starting with verse 13, ending in verse 20. Are any among you suffering? Then you should pray. Are any cheerful? Then you should sing songs of praise. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayers of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up, and anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being like us, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain, and for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain on the earth. Well, then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth yielded its harvest. My brothers and sisters, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and is brought back by another, you should know that whoever brings back a sinner from wandering will save the sinner's soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. Here ends the second lesson.
Our gospel lesson for today is taken from the 9th chapter of the book of Mark. John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not stop him, for one who does a deed of power in my name will be able soon afterward not to speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us. Truly, I tell you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose the reward. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than to have 2 feet and be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have 2 eyes and be thrown into hell,
where their worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. This is the written word of the Lord. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. He was a fellow pastor in a neighboring town. Several health issues were really plaguing his life. So I invited him to go out to lunch with me as a way of showing support and concern. As we gathered in that restaurant, we talked about our families. We talked about our respective communities. We talked about our hobbies. And of course, we talked about our ministries, our jobs. He told me that he could not do what he used to do. At one time, he ran the whole church. Yes, he preached and he taught and he visited like all pastors. But he also chaired every single committee meeting, and he chaired the board meetings as well. He wrote and produced the newsletter. This is in the days of mimeograph machines. He wrote and produced the worship bulletin. He set up the worship space for worship on Sunday mornings. He even rang the bell before worship. And occasionally he was known to even play the organ. He did it all. But now these health issues that were plaguing him had slowed him down. He simply could not keep up the pace. So he was forced, notice the choice of words, so he was forced to recruit others to help him. There were certain lay people who began to chair some of the committees. There were other laity who produced the bulletin and the newsletter. There was another group of laity who set up the altar and rang the bell. And there were even some lay people in that congregation who visited the sick and taught and occasionally preached. When my colleague spoke about the past, when he did it all, he spoke with great pride. But when my colleague spoke about the present, when he could no longer do it all, he spoke with great regret. My colleague displayed no understanding, no appreciation for partnership in ministry. The people Israel had been freed from their captivity. They were no longer enslaved in Egypt. Now they were wandering in the wilderness, making their way to the promised land. And that is the setting for our first scriptural lesson for today. Now, as they wandered in the wilderness, don't think that this 40-year trip was a breeze. It was not like driving I-16 on a sunny day. It was like driving I-16 or I-95 during Hurricane Florence. Just one thing after another went wrong. And every time something would go wrong, the people would complain. And every time they complained to one person, their leader, Moses. Complain, 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 complain. You're tired of hearing me say the word complain. Well, Moses was tired of hearing the Israelites complain. And so Moses decided to complain himself to his boss, to Almighty God. And Moses said to God, this is a paraphrase from Rick Sebastian. Moses says, God, why have you given me responsibility for these people? Why am I a nursemaid to these bunch of whining babies? I can't take it anymore. It's too much for me. If this is how I am to be a leader, have pity on me and kill me now. Wow. If this is how I'm to be a leader, have pity on me and kill me now. The Lord has pity on Moses, but the Lord does not kill Moses. Instead, the Lord throws Moses a lifeline. The Lord tells Moses to gather together 70 respected people of Israel. And being faithful as he is, Moses does just that. And when the 70 are gathered together, the Lord bestows upon those 70 the spirit that has been with Moses the whole time he has been the people's leader. In other words, there's not just one person who receives the Spirit of God. Now there are 71 people who have the Spirit of God. Those 70 have been blessed by the same Spirit, and they too have been designated as leaders of Israel, which means there are 71 people to listen to all of the complaints, which means there are 71 people to care for the needy of the community. There are 71 people to assist the people of God in their journey. There are 71 people to proclaim God's vision for the future of Israel. Wow. What a change. Now, Joshua is a good friend to Moses. And when Joshua learns what has happened, he becomes upset for his friend. He's afraid that Moses is losing some of his authority, some of his power, that Moses may be losing his position within the people of God. And Joshua expresses this to Moses. And Moses says to Joshua, again, my paraphrase, Josh, don't worry. Josh, don't worry. Moses goes on to say, I wish that the Lord would give his spirit to all the people of Israel. I wish every one of them would become a prophet or a leader for our community. Moses' wish is that everybody be blessed with the Spirit of God, and everyone can minister to the people. You see, when Moses spoke about his past, it was with great regret that he had to do it all by himself. But when Moses spoke about his present, he spoke with great pride because now there were 70 others to work with him. Moses displayed a wonderful understanding, a deep appreciation for partnership in ministry. Soon this congregation will call a new pastor. What is your vision for that pastor? Oh, I don't want to know what the official documents say. I can look that up on the internet. I'm asking you, what is your personal vision for the new pastor of First Baptist Church? Well, we probably can all agree that the new pastor will preach and teach and visit. But do we have a vision where the pastor is going to share every single meeting? including meetings of the deacons? Do we have a vision that this pastor is going to write and produce the newsletter and create the worship bulletin for Sunday morning? Do we have a vision where this pastor is going to set up the entire worship space and greet all worshipers before and after the service? Do we have a vision that the new pastor will do it all, will run the whole church? I sincerely hope not. Because if we do, that's an unhealthy vision for our new pastor. I believe the other pastors in this room will agree with me that any pastor who tries to do it all him or herself, that pastor will become ill. Either physically ill, relationally ill, emotionally ill, or spiritually ill. And likewise, it is unhealthy for the congregation. A congregation who does nothing and simply watches what's going on is a dysfunctional congregation, because that's not the purpose of a congregation. Nowhere in Scripture can you find where Jesus says to any of his disciples, "Do everything alone." Doesn't exist. That brings us back to the words of Moses. Remember, Moses wished that the Lord would share his Spirit with all of God's people, that all of God's people would be blessed by the Spirit of God. Well, you probably know that his wish came true. On Pentecost Sunday, 50 days after Jesus rose from the dead, the Holy Spirit descended upon all the believers who were there. Not on one believer, not on some believers, but all the believers. All the baptized received the Holy Spirit. Which means that all the baptized in this room are qualified for ministry. I didn't say we all had the same talents or the same abilities. What I said was we're all qualified by the Holy Spirit to do ministry. And that forces us to rethink a vision of the new pastor. Yes, the pastor will preach and teach and visit. But maybe this new pastor will train committee chairs how to be chairs. Maybe this new pastor will teach deacons how to minister to the members of the congregation. Maybe this new pastor will write inspirational messages for the newsletter that inspire us to expand our understanding of our own discipleship. Maybe this new pastor will formulate the order of worship for Sunday mornings with a committee of laity. Yes, this new pastor may set up the worship area for worship, but with the help of others. And I do hope the new pastor will greet before and after the worship along with members of the congregation. Do you remember the Nike phrase, "just do it"? Well, I think in this case for the new pastor, it's just do it together. Let's form a partnership in ministry. And if we do, we will find that our pastor will be healthy and thrive emotionally, spiritually, relationally. We'll also find that the congregation will thrive, because no longer will the congregation simply be an audience, but our vision will say the congregation are those who participate actively in the ministry of Jesus Christ. You remember what Jesus said in Scripture, "Make disciples of all nations." He didn't say make an audience out of all nations. He said, make disciples of all nations. One final thought. As the people of Israel wandered for 40 years, I'm sure many of them wondered, will we ever get out of this wilderness? Will we ever make it to the promised land? Well, Scripture tells us they did. Through God's grace and a partnership with their leader, a partnership with Moses. As we have been wandering this past year, 14 months, I know there are people in this room have wondered, will we ever get through all of this? Will we ever get back to being the congregation we've been? We will. Through God's grace and a partnership with our new pastor. And if that happens, we will not only be able to talk with great pride about the past, but we'll be able to talk about the present and the future with pride as well. Because we will be living a true understanding, a true appreciation of partnership in ministry. And dear friends, that partnership is a match made in heaven. Amen. We are privileged to come before our God in prayer. We will begin with silent prayer that allows each of us to share with the Lord the thoughts of our minds and the emotions of our hearts. Following this time of silence, we will then gather together through verbal petitions of prayer that reflect our life with each other. With this in mind, let us pray. O Lord our God, we praise and thank you for the richness of our lives. You bless us with nourishment and shelter, family and friends, a beautiful creation, good weather, unlimited opportunities, freedom, peace, and joy. We are blessed, and we humbly thank you for all the goodness you share with us. Compassionate Lord, we remember those in need. Bless the hungry and the homeless, the oppressed and the assaulted, the immigrant and the migrant, the lost and the lonely, the forgotten and the unforgiven, the ill and the dying. Allow all in need to experience your empathy and mercy and grace. Lord of the Church, we give you thanks for First Baptist Church. May the rich history of this congregation be continued through a faithful search process that leads to the calling of the pastor you have already chosen for us. Enable us, empower us to grow in faith and service. Lord of the nations, we pray for our country. Our divisions are readily apparent and are reinforced by ugly rhetoric and nasty accusations. Help us to find peace and harmony through a recommitment to be one nation under God with liberty and justice for all. Savior and Lord, we are grateful for our calling to be your people. Help us to understand that our calling is not the conference of an elevated status, but rather the encouragement to a life of service. Enable us to find the particular form of service that fits our talents and abilities and age. And all this we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who taught his disciples to pray, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Jesus Christ is on our side, offering us the love of God, a love that gives us all we have, and a love that makes us all we are. The generosity of Christ calls us to live lives of gratitude and generosity, and in Christ we are given new life. So let us celebrate this life by giving generously to the work of God's redeeming love.
Thank you.
Let's all pray together. Giving God, we can never match your generosity. When we are in need, you are at our side, present to us even in our darkest moments. You even rescue us from harm. So make us into a people who celebrate your goodness, drawing others into the celebration of your blessings. And now receive our offerings, even if they are small. Use them that people may drink, that those who are thirsty will be given drink, those who are hungry will be given food, and that our community may be used to bless this world. Amen. The invitation to Christian discipleship is open right now for any who wish to profess Jesus as Christ, for any wanting to join this worshiping community, or if you'd just like to come and pray at the kneelers, you can do that as well. May we do that as we sing this hymn together.
Thank you.
May you be seated for just a few moments for a few announcements. Again, for those of you who are guests today, it is wonderful to have you. We've had friends today from Kentucky and from Knoxville. I assume Tennessee is which Knoxville that would be. Am I right? All right. And it is great to have you here. Hope it has been beneficial for you. And again, let folks say hey to y'all as y'all leave today. A couple of announcements. Thank you to Rick Sebastian for bringing our message this morning. That was wonderful, Rick, so thank you very much. He'll be at the door for those of y'all to talk to as you leave. And also, this Wednesday night, we are having our Wednesday night activities. We'll have another episode of Animate this week. And of course, we will have dinner beforehand at 5 o'clock. So please come. Join us, have a good meal together, and some good learning as well. And I think that's it. So if you will, hear this pastoral benediction, and then, we get to go.
For the pastoral benediction, I'd like to invite you to look forward so that you understand that these words are spoken to you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon Him with favor and grant you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.